Wasps and Honey, written by Swoons, read by Kaylin Wrights. Narcissa Black's life was full of small, mundane pleasures these days, worlds away from the lavish lifestyle she had once sought out. What had once charmed and excited her, smooth silken sheets rustling beneath her skin every morning, decadent meals dutifully prepared by a loyal house elf, even the constant crackle of magic running through her home, had lost its charm. Now she lived for moments like this, the bright chime of a bell around a cat's neck as it perched on the cottage fence, its little pink paws padding along soundlessly. The smell of fresh lilac wafting by on the gentle breeze, drenching her home with a warm floral scent whenever she flung up her window sashes. The pink glow of a summer sunset as it dropped gently beneath the horizon, putting the final touches on another day in the countryside. To be sure, it had been a long 10 years without magic, but there was a subtle sort of magic in disappearing like this, in living alone, in a quiet country existence. What had started as a punishment felt now like a respite, something Narcissa hadn't earned and certainly didn't deserve, but relished all the same. The only evidence of her former life was a framed family portrait, not an oil painting, as they had once had in the manor, but a cheap sepia snapshot, depicting a grinning Draco grown plump with happiness, a radiant Astoria, and a smiling baby. The baby was, admittedly, as uninteresting and nondescript as most children are at that age, but in Narcissa's eyes, he was the most beautiful child in the universe. When they came to visit, Draco often expressed concern about her safety and sanity. "How can you live like this, mother?" But Narcissa was content with her surroundings. Her small cottage wasn't protected by spells or enchantments, but it felt safe, neighbored only by a small copse of trees to the west and a tiny muggle town to the east. Her only regular visitors, apart from her son, were the garden cats whom she attempted to lure into her home with tinned tuna bought from muggle shops. And though she would never have admitted it to her son for fear of hurting his feelings, Narcissa's feelings of well-being had only increased when, 2 months into the summer of her 10th year of exile, she received an owl from the Ministry of Magic with the news that her husband had died in Azkaban. He was the father of her child. She would forever be grateful for that. But she couldn't help the feeling of lightness that rose up within her, a heady rush of bubbles, like taking a few sips of Prosecco and standing up too quickly. She should, probably, have mourned him, should have felt something for the man who once took up so much space in her heart and life. But instead, she went down to the nearest muggle shop, her heart fuller than it had felt in years, and purchased a few extra tins of fish. Then she spent an evening in the garden, her long dress pulled up to her thighs, drinking white wine from a tumbler, and sharing the treats with her feline companions. Narcissa's post-war life was mundane, and all the more pleasant for that. She liked it that way. 10 years to the day that Narcissa had begun her exile, another letter arrived at her kitchen window, this time in the mouth of a tawny owl. The owl had arrived while she was washing up, singing softly under her breath, and she looked up from considering a particularly stubborn stain on a cast-iron pan to see the owl tapping gently on the windowsill. Wiping her hands hastily on a dish towel, Narcissa threw the sash open, and the bird hopped in, expectantly looking at her as if hoping for a treat. "Hang on," Narcissa said, fumbling around the pantry for something that an owl might like. Remembering the Ilop's owl treats that she had once fed to her own Tawny, she stared at the shelves of tinned muggle fruits and vegetables in confusion. Did owls eat tuna? The owl, however, must have given her up as a bad job, because when she turned back to the window, about to ask it that very question, the owl had flown back out of the window, leaving behind the letter on the cutting board by the sink. She knew, with a sinking feeling in the pit of her stomach, that the owl could not possibly have brought good news. It hadn't come from Draco's owl, a handsome screech owl, and there was no one else in the world who would bother to send a letter to Narcissa Black, of all people. The ministry-embossed envelope was solid and heavy in her hands. For a long time, she considered not opening it at all. Then, with a sigh, she tore open the envelope and pulled out a thick piece of parchment. "Dear Narcissa Malfoy," the letter read, and how strange it was to see her married name once more, the name she had abandoned as quickly as her marriage. "The Ministry of Magic applauds you on the successful completion of your term of parole." Narcissa blinked. Had it really been 10 full years? She hadn't bothered counting down the days. "As you no doubt remember from the terms of your plea offer, your wand was taken from you upon the beginning of your sentence. Your wand of record is maple and unicorn hair, 9.5 inches. She had spent the first few years of her exile missing her wand, though of course it wasn't really her wand. Her own wand had been destroyed in the Battle of Hogwarts, she knew, and the replacement wand that she had been issued shortly after by the Department of Reconstruction had never quite felt like her own. She hadn't had it long enough to develop any sort of bond with it, of course. "A ministry representative will be arriving shortly to return your wand." It would be the first time in 10 years that Narcissa had seen a wizard other than her own family members. A jolt of inexplicable fear struck her. "Your assigned rehabilitation representative is Hermione Granger, head of the Magical Barristers Division, Magical Historian, Adjunct Professor in Muggle Studies and Wizarding Relations, Order of Minerva, First Class." Narcissa stared blankly down at the name. For a moment, she felt dizzy with panic. Hermione Granger, arriving here? Hermione Granger, former deputy of Harry Potter, would be the first witch to arrive on Narcissa's doorstep since the days of the war. Heart pounding, Narcissa read on. "Your rehabilitation representative will oversee the completion of your mandatory rehabilitation refresher course." Narcissa strained her memory, trying to remember the terms of the parchment she had signed 10 years ago. Had she agreed to participate in a magical course? But her memories from that time were fragmented and scared. Her main goal had been solely to stay out of Azkaban, to reclaim some sort of life for herself and her son. She had primarily been worried about Draco's trial. Protecting her son from the consequences of his own actions was, after all, a mother's loathsome job. With the word of Harry Potter to vouch for him, though, Draco had avoided any prison term, sentenced only to a mandatory Muggle Studies course and a term of service assisting healers at St. Mungo's. Narcissa, for her part, had opted not to move forward with a trial, but to take a plea deal with the ministry. "Failure to complete this course signals your non-compliance with your post-parole programming and may carry a term of imprisonment in Azkaban Prison. Pursuant to the Azkaban Reform Act of 1999, we inform you that this sentence shall last no longer than 12 days. And there it was again, that fear creeping in, fear of being sent back to the Dementors, forced to relive her shame and cowardice 100 times over, until she drowned in her own suffering and the certainty that she deserved, after all, to suffer. Even 12 days was too long, Narcissa thought. "Upon completion of this mandatory course, your restrictions will be fully lifted. We invite you to refamiliarize yourself with the restrictions on magic under the International Statute of Secrecy of 1692 and all relevant provisions of ministry law." Barely processing what she was reading, Narcissa continued to read. "We eagerly await your return to our world. Sincerely, Ernie McMillan, Minister for Magic." She didn't miss the wizarding world. After all, the world she had known was surely gone now, destroyed by her own family's prejudice and hatred. From Draco and Astoria's hints, Narcissa knew that the ministry had undergone numerous changes, that goblin-wizarding relations had changed drastically, that Diagon Alley had been completely rebuilt. She had no desire to emerge into this new and unfamiliar world, a world that would surely still be unfriendly to someone like her. She was not eager to test her prospects. Narcissa glanced back up at the phrase, "A ministry representative will be arriving shortly." How soon was shortly? How long did she have to prepare? How on earth could Narcissa make her tiny cottage life presentable to Hermione Granger, who, by the sound of the parchment, Order of Minerva first class, for goodness sake, would be as judgmental and unpleasant as ever. With a crushing jolt of embarrassment, Narcissa realized she was wearing a messy apron over a Muggle linen dress, her gray hair falling out of a loose tangle of curls pulled up at the base of her neck. She surely didn't have enough time to shower, but perhaps she could at least run a brush through her hair or take off the offending apron. A knock at her front door brought her back to reality with another wave of panic. Hermione Granger was here. The meeting was aggravating for several reasons. For one thing, magic was harder, much harder, than Narcissa remembered. She had once been able to command her skills with no effort at all, as though her wand were an extension of her hand. Magic had felt as comfortable as breathing, and as natural. Now, though, she could barely manage a simple summoning charm. Perhaps it might have been easier with her old wand, which had felt like a familiar friend in her hand. This wand was like a stranger, and Narcissa found herself missing the wand that had chosen her before her first day at Hogwarts, though she mourned its loss less than the loss of her innocence. For another thing, Hermione Granger was wearing a very tight, very red, very velvety something that might once have been a dress, though on her it looked more like a second skin. Narcissa wanted to run her teeth along it. Hermione was nothing, nothing, like what Narcissa remembered. The awkward child she had once been was no more, replaced by a vision in velvet, short and plump and beautiful and almost painfully competent. She was so smart that Narcissa could easily have hated her. Instead, she wanted her. Fuck, Narcissa wanted her. She wanted her more than she had ever wanted anything in her life. This, however, did not make performing magic in front of Hermione any easier, especially when Narcissa remembered, midway through demonstrating a shrinking charm, that she was still wearing that ugly powder-stained apron.
"Can we take a break?"
Narcissa said, panting with the effort of channeling magic through her wand once more. She had, at least, managed a few simple charms by now, but she feared that the rest of the course, and Hermione was carrying a clipboard with a very long and tedious-looking list of required spells, would be beyond her. Hermione looked as though she wanted to press on, but she allowed Narcissa to take a break, and mercifully to shed the loathsome apron. She even allowed Narcissa to spread out some freshly baked biscuits on the table and pour them each a mug of steaming tea. Narcissa was gratified to find that she sipped her tea appreciatively, and even, after a hesitant first bite, seemed to enjoy the biscuits.
"You're a good cook," Hermione said.
This was the first non-business comment Hermione had made since entering the cottage, and Narcissa tried not to glow with pride at the compliment.
"Thanks," Narcissa said, holding back a smile. "I wish I could say it was natural skill, but it's the result of a fair few years of practice."
For some reason, Hermione scowled at this, as though she thought Narcissa was making a point about the length of her parole, rather than about her newfound love of baked goods from scratch.
"I mean," Narcissa said, hurriedly, "that I prepare a lot of my own food these days. I actually rather enjoy baking."
Hermione forced her face into a patently false smile. It looked painful. Internally wincing, Narcissa tried to turn the conversation into less dangerous waters.
"How many spells do I have to learn?"
she asked, putting down her tea with rather more force than she had intended, and spilling it over the table.
"Before I successfully complete the course?"
50,
Hermione said at once. It seemed as though she felt relieved to switch back to more academic topics.
"You've completed 7 of them so far."
Narcissa sighed.
"I'm afraid I'm quite out of practice these days," she said, wistfully looking back at the wand,
which she had placed on the kitchen draining board, as though she couldn't bear to be close to the strange instrument. She inwardly corrected herself. It was her wand, after all, not some stranger's. But the odd feeling persisted. It was like having someone else's hand attached to the end of her arm, unsteady and unnatural.
"It gets easier,"
Hermione said briskly, as though she had read Narcissa's mind.
"You'll soon develop a knack for it. Although I should tell you, the spells do increase in difficulty as we make our way through the list." Narcissa unsuccessfully held back another sigh. Ending, of course, with a Patronus charm. Hermione pasted that fake smile on her face again and said, I'm sure you'll have no trouble.
A Patronus?
Narcissa repeated, trying and failing to sound undaunted.
I haven't ever cast a Patronus, I'm afraid.
New and unspoken fears filled Narcissa's mind, drowning out all other thoughts and seemingly expanding to fill the entire kitchen, ridding it of its former warmth.
What if I can't think of anything happy enough to create a Patronus? What if the war drove all that, laughter, happiness, hope, out of me forever?
I'll be here to assist you, Hermione promised, picking up another biscuit and dipping it into her tea. It was such a strange, charming, undeniably muggle gesture that Narcissa nearly laughed, driven out of her preoccupied thoughts.
As long as it takes. That's very, kind of you, Narcissa protested,
watching with amusement as Hermione dunked the other half of her biscuit in her tea.
But I wouldn't want to take up your time.
Hermione's expression had gone slightly pinched. It's my job, she said, a note of irritation in her voice.
I can't leave until you've completed your program. Of course, Narcissa said hastily. I'm sorry. Please forgive me for being rude. I'm a bit unused to visitors.
She could almost hear Hermione's internal monologue.
And whose fault is that? No one from our world would ever want to visit someone like you.
But mercifully, Hermione kept these thoughts to herself. Across the table, Hermione was still scowling. She was much prettier when she smiled, but wasn't that the kind of cruel, spiteful thought that Narcissa was supposed to stop herself from having? What was it about the world that had taught her that women were only beautiful when they were falsely cheerful? A remnant of the war, no doubt. Jealousy, vanity, those ugly survival instincts of the beautiful and the damned. Narcissa lost herself in her thoughts for some time, emerging after several minutes, only to find Hermione's gaze still fixed on her.
I'm sorry, she said again. This is all new to me.
Hermione nodded curtly. It's quite all right, she said, though it clearly wasn't. After another plate of biscuits and another round of increasingly painful forced small talk, Hermione stood up and got right back to business.
Cheering charms are next, she said,
picking up the empty plate and her mug and setting them gently in the sink. This gesture of kindness was not missed on Narcissa. Most wizards never bothered with dishes. They were too easily tackled with a spell, after all. And even Draco had to be reminded to put away his used mugs whenever he dropped by. Narcissa stood up too, setting her own dishes in the sink beside Hermione's.
If we don't get through all the spells today, she said, a little nervously, with a glance out the kitchen window at the darkening sky. Will we continue them tomorrow? Should I make an appointment with you to...
If we have spells left, I'll come back tomorrow, Hermione said, smoothing down the hem of her dress. Narcissa tried not to stare.
Thank you, Narcissa said.
She felt distinctly wrong-footed. Was it having another witch in the home that made her so uncomfortable? The fact that this was a ministry representative, ready to punish her for the first misstep? Or was it the way Hermione looked? So fucking edible that Narcissa could barely think straight.
Would it help if I went over the theory first? Hermione said, not unkindly.
She had clearly misinterpreted Narcissa's discomfort as nervousness about the unfamiliar spellwork.
Cheering charms aren't terribly complex, but they do take some getting used to. Please.
How odd this whole situation was. Narcissa smiled wryly as she listened, somewhat distractedly, to Hermione's detailed explanations of charms theory. What would her mother have said if she could see Narcissa now? She had become everything her mother had warned her against, a widow who lived without magic in the Muggle countryside. And here she was, now serving homemade treats to a Muggle-born witch whom Narcissa's own family had once tried very hard to kill.
Are you all right? Hermione asked, breaking through Narcissa's preoccupation,
and Narcissa nodded at once, muttered a hasty apology, and returned to her attempts to use that dratted maple wand. After another 12 successful spells, Night was falling in earnest.
"I have to go," Hermione said, marking off disillusionment charms on her clipboard with a quill. "You've made it through quite a few tough ones, though. You should feel quite proud."
Narcissa did feel proud, less about the disillusionment charms than about her show of restraint in not pushing Hermione up against a wall and kissing her. But she didn't say this to Hermione. Instead, she thanked Hermione profusely and gave her a tray of biscuits to go.
"For you and your family?" Narcissa said as she saw Hermione out the door.
The last word came out like a question. Hermione's face did an odd little twitch, as if she was deciding whether or not to answer the unspoken question in Narcissa's words.
"Just me," she said finally, brushing back a loose curl from her cheek. "No, partner."
With that, she bade Narcissa goodnight and strode to the end of the lane before disapparating in a rush of red velvet. Was Narcissa imagining things, or was her use of the term partner deliberate? Before Hermione returned the following day, Narcissa made sure she was dressed smartly. Thinking of the red dress, she dressed rather more formally than she might otherwise have done, donning a neat pair of slacks and a blouse, and determinedly avoiding the unfortunate apron of the day before. She also spent rather longer than she might have liked on her hair and makeup, trying, unsuccessfully, to hide the fine lines under her eyes, the hollow spaces under her cheekbones. Hermione, however, appeared on Narcissa's doorstep in a shapeless sort of cardigan that made Narcissa wonder if she had perhaps imagined the velvet dress from yesterday, a product of nerves and her uncomfortable attraction to the younger woman.
"Come in," Narcissa said,
now feeling distinctly overdressed. If anything, it was more disconcerting than the previous day. If only her old-fashioned pure-blood mother could have seen Narcissa now, fretting about the impression her clothes would make on a younger woman, a muggle-born at that. Hermione didn't speak as she made herself comfortable at the kitchen table, setting down her clipboard, quill, and a few spare rolls of parchment. Finally, once the space was neatly organized, she dug in her bag for a moment and retrieved Narcissa's maple wand.
"Oh," said Narcissa blankly, staring down at the wand that Hermione was offering to her. "I forgot that you took it with you."
Hermione's lip twitched.
"Did you really?"
Narcissa took the wand, nodding. It felt strange in her hands again, cold and unfamiliar.
"Usually, the people I visit," Hermione said slowly,
and how polite of her not to say convicts or parolees or Death Eaters, Narcissa thought with a mirthless laugh.
"Can't bear to be away from their wands once they've gotten them back." "I'm so used to living without magic that I really, honestly, I'm not even sure I want to use it again. Maybe for some things, but..."
Hermione looked rather impressed.
"You seem to have found a comfortable place for yourself in the Muggle world." "I know I don't deserve it," Narcissa said at once, gesturing vaguely around the small kitchen,
at all the Muggle comforts that an admitted Death Eater surely shouldn't be afforded.
"That's not what I..." Hermione trailed off, frowning. "I didn't mean that you shouldn't find some sort of happiness."
The tension that filled the room after this bizarre statement was so thick that Narcissa doubted even her favorite kitchen knife could cut it. And it really was a very lovely knife.
"I just..." said Hermione, looking as though she was choosing her words with extreme care.
She pushed her hair out of her eyes, then plowed on valiantly.
"I know it can't have been easy for you either. Or your son."
Narcissa ducked her head gratefully, but didn't reply.
"I noticed that there aren't any, photos of your husband here," Hermione said slowly,
with a nod at the only moving photo in the space, the sepia frame which depicted Draco, Astoria, and baby Scorpius laughing together.
"I hope you didn't feel moved to hide them for my sake."
Narcissa stared at her.
"For your? I'm sure it's a bit of an awkward situation," Hermione added, "having me as your rehabilitation representative." "How so?"
Hermione's lip quivered again. Narcissa was sure she'd seen the beginnings of a real smile.
"We have..." History? Narcissa suggested politely. It was almost laughable the way they kept dancing around the subject.
Precisely, Hermione said, now unable to hold back a faint smile. I know it's a complicated situation, but I wouldn't want you to have to hide.
Lucius isn't my husband, Narcissa said at once, watching Hermione's face closely. Those dark eyes were guarded. They gave nothing away.
I don't have any photos of him.
Then, feeling increasingly reckless, she added again,
he's not my husband.
Hermione shot her a questioning look.
Not your... If we had separated, Narcissa explained, it would have affected my son's inheritance. I may have no interest in ever setting foot back inside the manor, but I didn't want to prevent Draco from reclaiming it, if he ever saw it fit to live in.
This was, of course, unlikely, given Draco's history in that house, something Hermione surely knew better than anyone.
So you couldn't divorce? Hermione asked, sounding outraged. I'm not an expert in magical estates, but surely... Old pureblood families often have such laws in their homes, said Narcissa, simply. Performing the marriage bond acts like an unbreakable vow. The union can't be severed without... divesting any heirs from that marriage of their interests in the pureblood home, Hermione finished at once, her jaw now set in anger. To preserve the home for any future heirs from another marriage, I imagine.
Exactly.
Merlin, that's terrible.
Hermione's mouth had fallen slightly open as she pondered the situation. Narcissa could practically see her concocting some sort of argument against this. Maybe even now, drafting a pamphlet on the injustices of pureblood marriage bonds.
It wasn't worth challenging, Narcissa said, when she was sure Hermione was about to speak again. I prefer a quiet life. Isn't there some sort of legal remedy to prevent...
Narcissa shrugged.
Perhaps.
Hermione was still looking confused.
In any case, Lucius is not my husband, Narcissa said. In name, perhaps, but not in reality.
She smiled grimly.
Not for many, many years.
Oh, said Hermione, looking as though she had no idea what to say.
He's also dead, Narcissa said bluntly.
A moment passed in which neither Hermione nor Narcissa spoke. Hermione appeared to be holding her breath. Then Narcissa laughed, and Hermione visibly relaxed.
I'm sorry, Narcissa said. That was needlessly blunt, even for me. I'm really not used to company.
Hermione, however, gave her a shy smile.
I did read something like that in the paper, she admitted. I wasn't sure if I should mention it. What did the prophet say about his death?
Narcissa said, interested.
I can imagine it was an, interesting death notice, was it?
The prophet, Hermione said, blankly.
I don't get wizarding papers these days, Narcissa said, apologetically. The local muggles think I'm just an eccentric older woman. Daily owls would be a bit of a giveaway, I'm afraid.
The prophet hasn't been in business in years, Hermione said, looking at Narcissa as though she had said something particularly shocking.
Really?
Hermione shook her head, still fixing Narcissa with that strange, steady gaze.
Lost a libel suit.
Excellent, said Narcissa heartily.
To whom?
To Hagrid, Hermione said.
You might remember him. He was the gamekeeper, wasn't he?
And professor, Hermione corrected, though her tone was polite. Well, they were running all sorts of wild stories about him.
He wasn't the only one, said Narcissa fervently, remembering.
Well, yes, said Hermione with a chuckle. Anyway, the whole paper had to be liquidated.
I haven't heard such good news since I learned my husband was dead, said Narcissa.
Hermione smiled again. It was strange to be making jokes with Hermione Granger, but even more so because it felt so natural, so easy. Turning her attention back to the end of the prophet, Narcissa asked, And what happened to... what was her name? Rita?
Rita Skeeter, Hermione finished for her, as if unable to let a question go unanswered. She faced heavy fines for her work.
As she should, said Narcissa, nodding.
But is currently employed at the Ministry, Hermione said, looking expectantly at Narcissa for a reaction. Narcissa gaped at her.
At the...
She now works as one of our best fraud analysts, said Hermione. She's put her, considerable talents to work for good this time, tracking down wizards who sell harmful or fraudulent products to unexpecting muggles.
Excellent, Narcissa said again. Well, I suppose I'm not the only one who's been rehabilitated, am I?
Then she paused, a little guiltily, before adding,
If you can call me rehabilitated, I suppose you're the judge of that.
If you can give me another plate of those biscuits, Hermione said with a grin, I'll be better suited to make up my mind about it. Narcissa snorted, a thoroughly undignified noise, but couldn't bother to feel embarrassed when Hermione was looking at her with a smile. But I think, said Hermione thoughtfully, as Narcissa stood up, that your baking accomplishments alone show that there is hope for you yet.
I'm honored, said Narcissa sarcastically, though she was, in fact, pleased beyond herself.
You're not what I expected, Hermione observed, watching Narcissa putter around the kitchen.
Not quite so evil, after all,
Narcissa asked, and Hermione snorted.
That's not exactly what I... Oh, all right, that is what I meant, Hermione admitted, chuckling under her breath. But you're not what I remember.
Nor are you,
Narcissa said pointedly, and if Hermione knew that Narcissa wasn't just talking about her personality, she didn't mention it. Narcissa plated a tray of the biscuits she had made the previous day, since Hermione had seemed to enjoy them so much, and rummaged through her pantry until she unearthed a small bottle of mead, then returned to the table.
Is it against Ministry regulations to drink with a parolee?
She asked, uncorking the little bottle and dividing it between two glasses. Hermione shrugged.
I won't tell if you won't, she said, accepting the glass with a smile. It's not Madame Rosmerta's, Narcissa warned, but I brew it myself with local honey, and if I do say so myself, it's rather good.
Hermione seemed to enjoy the honeyed wine. In any case, she drank deeply from her glass, and happily accepted another when Narcissa offered. They got through 16 spells and 2 bottles of mead, though the spells were much less memorable to Narcissa than the deep red spots that bloomed high on Hermione's cheek as she drank. The way she laughed herself silly when Narcissa accidentally transfigured a clock into a biting cactus. The way she touched Narcissa's shoulder gently as she bade her goodbye until the following day. On the third day, Hermione appeared at Narcissa's door, wearing another frumpy, shapeless jumper, and a smile.
15 spells left, she said cheerily,
pushing past Narcissa without waiting to be let in, as though they had become fast friends. As though they had become fast friends. As though she felt comfortable with Narcissa. Or, Narcissa reasoned, as though Hermione wanted to breeze through the rest of the spells as quickly as possible, so she would never have to see Narcissa again.
Nearly done.
Narcissa tried to look excited about this, but her insides were leaden at the thought that this might be her last day with Hermione.
We'll start, Hermione said, matter-of-factly, as she set down her bag and made herself at home at Narcissa's kitchen table, with stunning spells.
She pulled out a large cushion that seemed completely too large for the bag she'd brought with her. Narcissa stared at it, not comprehending what Hermione was saying.
You mean I have to stun you?
Hermione nodded easily and withdrew another few cushions from her tiny handbag.
It's perfectly safe, I assure you. Miss Granger, Women who are about to stun me, said Hermione with a grin, get to call me Hermione.
Narcissa stared at her.
Hermione, I really can't.
You just did, said Hermione, still smiling.
I know, she said at once,
as Narcissa opened her mouth to protest.
It's 4 syllables, and it is a bit long, but you seem to have gotten the hang of it admirably.
That's not...
Narcissa said, any further protests dying in her throat.
I can't.
You can, Hermione said, sounding as though she was quite enjoying the novelty of the scene, as though she'd been quite looking forward to it, as though asking the former Death Eater, in whose house she had been tortured, to stun her was something exciting or entertaining, rather than horrible on every level.
Do I have to?
Narcissa asked weakly.
Oh, where's your courage, Mrs. Malfoy? Teased Hermione. Or, she frowned,
is it Miss now?
It's Miss, said Narcissa at once.
But it's Black, not Malfoy.
Of course, Hermione said. Well, in that case, Miss Black. And oh, did that name sound gorgeous on her lips. I'm going to insist that you stun me now.
Throat dry, Narcissa tried to mutter out some sort of argument, but Hermione cut her off again.
It won't hurt me, her smile turned sharper. Much.
Narcissa was starting to feel quite faint.
Can't we? Wouldn't you like some tea first?
I've found that it's better to be stunned on an empty stomach, Hermione said, as though she did this every day.
And, Narcissa reminded herself, she probably did.
Let's go over the theory first, shall we?
I'm never going to manage this, Narcissa said,
after an unsuccessful half hour spent listening to Hermione talk theory. Or trying to, while her mind wandered. She couldn't help focusing instead on how eager Hermione had sounded to get stunned, the way her face lit up from within as she spoke, the brightness in her eyes. She wondered if Hermione would sound that eager in other situations as well, mouth half open and wanting, eyes bright with desire.
You'll manage. If you say so, said Narcissa grimly. I'm still not sure I'll be able to.
I promise you, you can.
As it turned out, Narcissa could, and did, twice, though she felt such a wave of guilt afterwards that a freshly revived Hermione took pity on her and offered to make tea for them both.
I have a potentially rude question for you,
Narcissa said some time later, when they were both happily drinking tea, the memories of the stunning spell now forgotten.
Fire away, said Hermione, though her expression had turned suspicious.
Well, said Narcissa, tentatively, thinking of the red dress.
Her face suddenly felt hot as she remembered the way the velvet had clung to Hermione's skin.
Why were you so dressed up on your first day here?
Hermione blinked as though she'd expected to be asked something much worse.
I was going to a friend's wedding, she said finally. You might remember Neville Longbottom?
Narcissa nodded, wondering if her reprimand was in order, but Hermione just smiled.
He married another friend of ours.
Then, after an agonizingly long pause, Hermione added,
Luna Lovegood.
Of course, said Narcissa, smiling weakly, as though her family hadn't kept the Lovegood girl hostage for the better part of 4 months.
If there was something strained about Hermione's expression when she next looked at Narcissa, if Narcissa's smile was so false it hurt, neither woman commented on it.
Lots of weddings these days, said Narcissa mildly,
trying desperately to settle upon a safe talking point.
I assume you know that my son married Astoria Greengrass several years ago.
Hermione nodded, though an odd shadow passed across her face. Was it judgment? Concern.
I know, she said.
A long pause. Narcissa looked down at her hands, picking an imaginary speck of dirt from a cuticle.
You weren't at the wedding, Hermione said finally, and perhaps Narcissa was merely imagining it, but she thought she sensed a note of accusation in Hermione's voice.
I have not been allowed to attend most wizarding events for the past 10 years, Narcissa said.
Her voice calm, finally looking up from her own hands.
They did insist, originally, on holding a smaller family function so I could attend, but...
You didn't want to?
Hermione's eyebrows had knit together in the middle.
I wanted my son to have the large, happy wedding of his dreams, said Narcissa, sighing. Not something small and discreet, just so his mother could come.
Oh, said Hermione. That was kind of you. She sounded almost surprised.
Well, one only marries once, said Narcissa easily.
Then she let out a grim laugh.
Ideally, of course. Not all of us are so lucky.
Oh, said Hermione, taken aback. Did you marry someone before Lucius? Narcissa laughed.
No, Lucius was the only one.
Hermione's expression turned mischievous. But not the last, she teased.
Unless my muggle postman falls madly in love with me. He is about 80 years old and gayer than I am, but you never know. I think I'm rather out of luck in that department, said Narcissa,
and Hermione didn't press the topic further, though she gave a hearty chuckle. They got through 8 spells before taking another tea break, this time accompanied by berry scones Narcissa had baked using fresh blackberries from her garden. Do you... Hermione asked, tentatively, as she sucked blackberry juice off one thumb. Possibly have any more of the honey you used to make that mead? Narcissa tried not to stare as Hermione licked her finger clean. It was, as Narcissa's mother had always said, a disgusting habit. But that wasn't why Narcissa was watching. No, she was fixating on Hermione's tongue, her slender hands, those long, delicate fingers.
It's just that, well, it's usually a fry-up for me these days, you know, said Hermione, her cheeks darkening, and I really haven't been able to stop thinking about it. I haven't been able to stop thinking about you,
Narcissa wanted to say, but she hastened to fetch a jar of fresh honey for Hermione to spoon onto her scone.
You really are a marvelous baker,
Hermione said, around a mouthful of scone and honey.
I've never had anything quite like this before.
Narcissa ducked her head at the compliment. Something about Hermione's warm voice, the rich note of the praise, made her feel young, unsteady.
My parents never allowed me to eat sweets when I was younger, Hermione said.
She sucked on the end of her finger again. Narcissa looked away, afraid of being caught staring.
I'm afraid I've developed a terrible sweet tooth. I'll share the recipe with you, Narcissa said, and then you can make it whenever you like.
Oh, said Hermione, face falling. I'm afraid that I'm an extraordinarily bad cook. I shouldn't risk it.
Or, said Narcissa, as the impact of Hermione's words finally dawned on her, you could, you know, drop by from time to time. Once we've finished up with the rest of the spells, you know. If that's not a breach of ministry policy.
Hermione positively beamed at her. Spending the weekend away from Hermione was torturous. Somehow, though they had only spent a few days together, Narcissa felt as though her kitchen table looked unnaturally empty without Hermione sitting there, drinking tea and looking beautifully at home. Though the birds were chirping cheerfully outside, her home sounded dull and lifeless without Hermione's sharp voice, her occasional and uncontrollable bursts of laughter, the way her voice warmed every inch of the home. There were only a few spells to go when Hermione returned on Monday. She apparated late this time and showed up on Narcissa's doorstep with a curt apology, clutching a large bottle of red wine and muttering something about
those bloody time wasters in the Department of Magical Law Enforcement.
The shadows under her eyes were more pronounced than usual, but the look suited her.
Just one more day,
Hermione said cheerily, stopping in the doorway to pat one of the neighborhood cats on its head. The movement set the cat's bell tinkling. The noise struck something deep within Narcissa's soul.
Then you'll be shot of me.
What? Narcissa said, staring at the cat, now sunning itself on a warm patch of brick right outside the door. Hermione was giving it chin scratches. She seemed to be a natural with felines. Or, thought Narcissa wryly, with old pussies of all sorts.
We can get through all the spells today, Hermione explained,
finally abandoning the cat and stepping inside.
I'm sure you'll be glad to get me out of your hair.
Narcissa ran a hand through her own hair, wondering self-consciously if her face bore the remnants of a weekend spent pining, drinking, and wanking, not necessarily in that order.
"Do we, have to finish the rest of the spells?"
Narcissa asked, though they hadn't even started to make progress on the list Hermione had tucked away in that mysteriously large bag of hers. Hermione chuckled. "You're thinking about the Patronus," she said with a knowing smile. Narcissa had not been thinking of the Patronus, but rather Hermione's lips. But she nodded anyway, appreciating the safe assumption.
"You'll be excellent," said Hermione heartily,
unpacking her bag and taking out her clipboard and quill. She pulled out Narcissa's wand and set it on the kitchen table as well, then offered the bottle of wine to Narcissa.
"It's not anything like what you've offered me, but it's only fair that I bring a little something this time. Although," her eyes twinkled, "I wouldn't say no to a bit more of that mead."
Narcissa had already laid out a bottle of mead and two glasses. When Hermione noticed this, she said,
"Ah, now this is why you're my favorite client." "I bet you say that to all your clients," Narcissa said, pouring out a glass for each of them. "And anyway, what's all this about clients? Parolees, don't you mean?"
Hermione scowled at her, and Narcissa mentally amended her previous internal note. She had thought before that Hermione was more beautiful when she smiled. What a stupid, masculine thing to think. Now, faced with this Hermione, difficult, sarcastic, the perpetual know-it-all, Narcissa knew she had been wrong. No, Hermione was even more beautiful when she scowled, when that inner fire of righteous indignation blazed forth in her eyes, threatening to scorch anyone who stood in her path. The image of her, eyes bright, burning cities to the ground, was so beautiful and terrible that Narcissa could hardly bear it. All weekend, she had thought not of the soft, falsely sweet Hermione, but of that fiery, spiteful creature when her fingers found her center, rubbing steadily at the mounting fire between her thighs, body aching with need. Perhaps in another life, Narcissa thought, she could have been like Hermione, had she not grown up vain and self-satisfied, so blinded by duty and tradition, those chains of pure-blood womanhood. Perhaps she, too, could have carved out a life for herself in the world, made herself ferocious and brave by expressing her thoughts rather than repressing them and hoping they would disappear. Hermione drank deeply, then set back down the glass and pursed her lips.
"For a Malfoy?" "Former Malfoy," Narcissa pointed out. "You really are quite terrible at accepting compliments," Hermione said, ignoring the interruption completely. "You should ask your son for advice."
Narcissa unsuccessfully tried to stifle her laugh.
"Am I really your favorite parolee, then?"
Hermione made a face.
"Let's dispense with this whole parolee thing, shall we, Miss Black?" "Like we dispensed with the honorifics?"
Narcissa shot back, smirking.
"Fair point," said Hermione.
She drained her glass and rose to her feet, then dragged Narcissa up with her.
"Right, Narcissa,"
she smirked at Narcissa, so close that Narcissa could hardly breathe, so close that Narcissa had to turn away to save herself from doing something foolish, like kissing her.
"These spells aren't going to cast themselves."
Caught off guard by Hermione's sudden movement, Narcissa stumbled on her feet slightly. Hermione caught her and stabilized her with a surprisingly strong grip.
"Don't want you getting injured on me," Hermione said, smirking.
She crossed the room and held out her wand, ready to demonstrate what was sure to be another irritatingly complex spell.
"You wouldn't believe the amount of paperwork that's involved." "Has that ever happened, then?"
Narcissa asked, partly because she was curious, partly because she wanted to delay the start of their little lesson. The longer she could draw out their conversation, the longer Hermione would get to stay.
"Ugh, Narcissa," said Hermione, and Merlin was that word sweet on her lips. "You don't want to know."
"I do,"
Narcissa said, so quickly that she knew she'd sounded over-eager. had the world shifted slightly on its axis? Since when was Narcissa Black falling over herself for someone? A younger, muggle-born someone? Had she ever felt like this? Hermione grinned again.
Let's just say that not all of my clients are as charming or as careful as you are. I had one man who, accidentally knocked himself out with his own spell.
Accidentally?
Ended up in St. Mungo's.
How dreadful.
A shame, really, Hermione said, in a tone of mock concern. He had been such a, delightful man. Asked me out for a drink a few times.
She paused.
Maybe 100 times. Very persistent. During work hours, too. A gentleman, truly.
Ah, the biting sting of love,
Narcissa remarked, coolly.
I can't believe you didn't marry him.
Quite.
Is that what happens to everyone who asks you for a drink?
Narcissa asked, uncomfortably aware that she was now pushing her luck.
A private ward in St. Mungo's?
We've already had a drink, Hermione pointed out. I told you that you were my favorite client.
I do like being the exception to the rule, said Narcissa. What if I were to ask you to have a drink after work? Where does that land me?
In the grave, probably. Hermione considered.
That depends. Are you feeling lucky, Narcissa?
Narcissa's throat went dry.
Can we save the Patronus for tomorrow?
Narcissa said a few hours later, before she could stop herself. They had, as Hermione had predicted, made it through all the final spells except one. Hermione had methodically marked them all off on that chart of hers, praising Narcissa's progress. She had to admit that it had gotten easier. The wand that had once felt so unfamiliar seemed a bit friendlier to her now, as though the wand finally remembered her, no longer a long-forgotten acquaintance, but a newly rekindled friendship. Only the Patronus was left now, and Narcissa was less afraid of casting the difficult charm than she was of what would happen once she had. For all Hermione's comments about meeting again, about getting a drink, about stopping over every once in a while for tea and honey, Narcissa was afraid. She couldn't bear to let Hermione go. She couldn't bear to let Hermione let her go.
Save the Patronus for tomorrow, Hermione repeated. Why?
Narcissa swallowed.
I think I'm falling in love with you.
My wrist is a bit sore,
Narcissa lied, rubbing her hand for effect.
I haven't used a wand in years, you know, and I'm afraid my wrist's a bit tired.
Hermione drew closer, and without asking, took Narcissa's wrist in her own hand.
It looks fine to me,
she said, running a finger across the blue-green veins of Narcissa's inner forearm.
Sometimes these injuries are,
Narcissa gulped,
hard to see.
Are they?
Hermione said, still tracing Narcissa's veins. She was even closer now, and even though she was much shorter than Narcissa, Narcissa felt at a distinct disadvantage. Could Hermione feel Narcissa's heartbeat through her fingertips? Could she feel the telltale signs of Narcissa's quickening breath, her pounding heart?
I think so,
Narcissa said weakly, unsure where to look. She settled for looking somewhere over Hermione's shoulder.
Could we resume this tomorrow?
Hermione was still so close, her hand still on Narcissa's wrist, like a bruise Narcissa never wanted to erase. So close that Narcissa could almost... Something, a complicated, gorgeous, guarded something, passed across Hermione's face as she considered Narcissa's request. Then she shook her head.
We really should wrap this up today, she said lightly, stepping back so quickly that Narcissa wondered if she had imagined her touch.
Narcissa felt as though she'd been slapped, as though the air had been knocked right out of her lungs. But after all, what had she been expecting?
The theory goes like this, Hermione said, as though nothing had passed between them. You're going to think of a memory, a very happy memory,
It was by far the hardest spell Narcissa had ever attempted to cast. She could manage the wand work and the words, but the happy memory seemed to elude her. What in her miserable, bitter old life had ever made her feel happy enough to push back against the memories of what she had once done, what she had allowed to be done around her? Even without a Dementor in their midst, these thoughts seemed to drain the room of all its warmth. Not even the gentle chime of one of the cats appearing on the windowsill could bring a smile to her face now. Her whole existence seemed pointless, a lie, something petty and stupid and easily forgotten.
"Think, Narcissa," said Hermione, stepping behind Narcissa and almost folding Narcissa into her arms.
Narcissa closed her eyes at the touch.
"Something happy," Hermione reminded, her breath warm on Narcissa's neck. "Here, remember, move your hand like this." She took Narcissa's hand in her own and gestured gently. "And say the words." "I can't think of anything," Narcissa admitted, feeling inexplicably guilty.
She leaned back against Hermione's touch, steadying herself in Hermione's calming presence. She was like a human Patronus, radiant and bright, and yet devastatingly powerful.
"It doesn't need to be a moment of excitement," Hermione said, her voice dropping to a whisper. "It can be a moment of peace, like the sun coming out from behind a cloud."
Narcissa thought of the mornings she had spent in her kitchen, watching the pink morning sun filling the room with a kind of warm brightness that lit everything up from within. She thought of Hermione sitting there, drinking honeyed mead and staring at her with those dark, challenging eyes.
"Expecto Patronum," she whispered.
Narcissa's first thought was that it felt like magic, though on some level she knew this was ridiculous. Of course it felt like magic. It was magic. But it was magic as she had never experienced it before. Magic that felt like it originated in her soul. And for the first time in her life, Narcissa knew she had a soul. It gave her a tremendous sense of peace, knowing at last that there was indeed some part of her that was still untarnished by bitterness and sadness. Something good. The warmth pulsed out from her, down every part of her body, and channeled itself out through her outstretched hand, through the wand tip, and into the room. Eyes wide, she watched the Patronus form. It was tiny and spectral, not nearly as solid as she knew some Patroni could become. And yet...
"It's perfect," Hermione breathed, her hands still wrapped around Narcissa from behind. "Look at that."
A tiny silver wasp, flitting around the room like a beam of light glinting through a window pane.
"I can't believe it," Narcissa said,
still keeping her voice low, as though afraid a sudden noise would scare away the tiny wasp.
I didn't think I could."
She didn't care suddenly about sounding childish, or that tears were cascading freely down her cheeks. It was enough just to gaze at the tiny creature, to feel the dual protection of the Patronus and Hermione's embrace. Narcissa had never felt so vulnerable in her life. And yet, she had never felt so free. Brushing away a tear, Narcissa let her wand arm fall to her side. The Patronus vanished in a swirl of silver mist. Hermione stepped backwards, politely allowing Narcissa to dab at her watery eyes with the sleeves of her tunic. When Narcissa turned around to face her, Hermione was smiling.
"It makes sense," Hermione said, grinning at Narcissa. "A wasp."
Narcissa blinked.
"Small, yet powerful," Hermione said, still smiling. "Elegant. Deadly when angered. Unable to fight back without losing herself in the process,"
Narcissa said, before she could stop herself. Her voice had suddenly turned bitter. At Hermione's questioning look, she added,
"They die when they sting something. Didn't you learn as much in school?"
Hermione laughed, the kind of light, breezy laugh that struck something deep within Narcissa's chest, something she hadn't felt since she was much younger and much less clever.
What? No, they don't, Hermione said. You're thinking of bees.
Narcissa shot her a look.
It's my Patronus, Miss Granger.
Cast it again, then,
Hermione challenged. Narcissa did. She cast the spell so many times that her wand arm did actually grow tired. She cast it so often that it felt easier than anything to reach for a happy memory. Hermione. Always Hermione. Hermione sitting by the window in the kitchen. Hermione's arms around her body. Hermione in that red dress. And summon the tiny wasp. By the time she had finished, the sky had faded to a dusky rose around them, and the cats were howling at Narcissa's back door for tinned fish and attention. Hermione helped her to feed them, scooping up the cats with ease and plying them with fish and ear scratches.
You're a natural,
Narcissa said, as her wasp Patronus zoomed happily around the garden, overseeing Hermione's attempts to befriend every one of the neighborhood cats.
They'll miss you when you're gone.
I'll miss you when you're gone.
I suppose you're glad to be done with your spell course,
Hermione said, lightly. Narcissa shrugged.
You realize what this means,
Hermione continued, rubbing a cat bravely on its belly.
You can re-enter the wizarding world if you'd like. I'm not sure if I will,
Narcissa said.
I like my life here. Quiet, you know. No visitors, just a solitary life. But I suppose it's nice to have the option.
Hermione suddenly rose to her feet, giving the cats a few last pats, though her heart didn't seem to be in it.
I should probably,
she said, gesturing inside.
Of course, said Narcissa, as her Patronus vanished into a puff of smoke.
She followed Hermione inside, feeling hollow.
I appreciate everything you've done for me, Hermione. You've been really lovely, and I know that, given everything, well, it can't have been easy.
It's my job, Hermione said, gathering up her bag and pushing the clipboard back into it.
Of course, Narcissa said again.
Then Hermione said, in a businesslike voice,
I've got to keep your wand for now, I'm afraid, but you'll have it back in a week or so.
Narcissa handed over her wand without speaking. She suddenly didn't know what to say.
I'm pleased to report that your spell work has been satisfactory and that you've completed all the requirements of your re-entry program, Hermione said, sounding as though she was reciting the speech from heart. Your wand will be delivered by Owl once your paperwork has been processed.
Narcissa blinked.
Have I done something wrong?
Hermione's face went oddly rigid as she pasted on that polite, smiling mask again. Narcissa wanted to rip it off. She wanted Hermione's real smile, her real laugh. Sharp, too many teeth, displaying every line of laughter and anger and love that her years in the world had earned her. Not this. This pretty facade Hermione had learned to show the world.
Oh, cut it out! Narcissa snapped. Don't do that!
Hermione blinked. The mask slipped somewhat before she hastily fixed it back in place.
That fake smile, Narcissa said. Merlin, that fake laugh. Don't be nice to me. I hate it.
For a moment, Narcissa wondered if she had gone too far, if Hermione was on the verge of yelling. But then...
You are the first person I've ever met, Hermione said slowly,
that fire blazing in her eyes again.
Who has recognized that this...
She made that face again.
Is not my real smile. It's pretty,
Narcissa offered, fearing she'd been rude.
But it's not you. It's not what you really look like.
Hermione stared at her for a very, very long time. She seemed to be making up her mind about something. Then her eyes seemed to shut her over, becoming colder and more guarded.
I hope, she said finally,
in a strange voice that didn't sound like her at all,
that you enjoy your quiet life here. I thank you for the tea and mead and biscuits, Hermione said.
She was speaking very oddly, as though her jaw was clenched.
I've overstayed my welcome. Not at all,
Narcissa protested.
I'd love to have you come back if you're ever...
I'm your rehabilitation representative, Miss Black, Hermione said at once. We shouldn't be having this conversation. The renewed use of her family name stung, but not nearly as much as the sound of the slamming door, or the pop, as Hermione disapparated just down the lane. The next morning, Narcissa slept well past her usual rising time. She had slept badly. Disordered dreams of curly hair and dark eyes had broken her sleep, and allowed herself two small luxuries, sleeping in and feeling sorry for herself. She had thought that they were friends, thought that they were, perhaps, building toward something more. Clearly, she had been mistaken.
I'm your rehabilitation representative, Miss Black.
Narcissa groaned and turned over, burying her face in her pillow and wishing she could forget the coldly distant tone of Hermione's voice. Had she imagined things? How pathetic! To have fallen for someone in only a week. How ridiculous she must have seemed, searching for praise from the woman whom her family had tortured, even tried to slaughter. Of course it had been just a job to Hermione. The fact that she had laughed with Narcissa, sipped tea and mead in her kitchen, touched her with those soft, delicate hands. That meant nothing in the face of Narcissa's crimes. Narcissa rolled over again, pulling the sheets over her head and trying to push aside the shame and humiliation that spread through her like a disease. When she finally arose and stumbled clumsily to the kitchen to put on the kettle, it was to find Hermione Granger sitting calmly at her kitchen table. She nodded when Narcissa walked in, draped in a dressing gown, as though this were a prearranged appointment. Narcissa's body felt as though she had just been stunned.
What are you doing here?
She looked around for forgotten paperwork, for the clipboard, for something bureaucratic to explain Hermione's presence, but there was nothing in front of Hermione except for two wands, her own and Narcissa's.
Visiting a friend, Hermione said calmly. I thought we...
Narcissa's voice, hoarse from sleep, trailed away nervously as she looked at Hermione.
I have your wand, Hermione said. I hope you don't mind. I let myself in.
Actually, Narcissa did mind, but the cool way that Hermione was smiling at her made her think that Hermione already knew this, that she had done it anyway, just to get a rise out of her.
Is this a professional visit?
Narcissa asked, thinking again of Hermione's words.
I'm your rehabilitation representative.
Hermione shook her head slowly.
We no longer have a professional relationship. Then why? Your paperwork was processed early this morning, Hermione said.
In a distant, still functioning part of Narcissa's brain, Narcissa thought that this was unusually quick for ministry business. She wondered whether Hermione had had something to do with that, if she had used her considerable influence to push the paperwork through more quickly. Still not understanding, Narcissa asked,
And that means... You're now free to re-enter the wizarding world if you so choose. Yes, Narcissa said,
wondering why Hermione felt the need to deliver this news in person.
But I thought... Wasn't this supposed to come via owl?
Hermione shrugged, still looking infuriatingly pleased with herself. She held out the wand for Narcissa's inspection. Narcissa didn't take it. She wondered if she was dreaming, or if perhaps she had accidentally stumbled into a parallel universe.
Your dressing gown is falling open, Hermione said calmly, after a moment of Narcissa's stunned silence. And while I admire the view...
Narcissa stared at her, fingers fumbling hastily with her robe. Once she had retied the wretched thing. Honestly, first that godforsaken apron and now this. She crossed the room and accepted the wand that Hermione was offering her.
I didn't realize you were coming,
she said finally, once she couldn't stand Hermione's piercing gaze any longer.
I would have...
It's not standard procedure, no, Hermione said cheerfully, as though they were engaged in nothing more than a conversation about ministry bureaucracy.
Typically, your wand would be returned to you by owl, as you said. Typically? But I thought, given the circumstances...
She shot another meaningful glance at Narcissa, who felt rather as though she were completely naked, despite the robe.
The circumstances?
Yes, said Hermione calmly. The circumstances.
And those are?
Oh, said Hermione.
You're quite clever, aren't you, Narcissa? I'm sure you can figure it out. But I thought... You said you were my ministry representative,
Narcissa said, feeling as though she was fighting to make sense of the facts in front of her.
I was your ministry representative, Hermione said.
There was no longer any trace of that false smile on her face anymore. She looked like herself. That was to say, gorgeous and almost frightening. Narcissa could have bowed down at her feet and worshipped her. Instead, she cleared her throat.
When I stunned you, when you were there, convincing me to harm you.
Hermione's grin took on that savage quality again, the one Narcissa loved so much.
Did you like it?
Narcissa swallowed heavily.
Are you... I might be mistaken, Miss Granger.
Hermione.
Hermione, then, Narcissa said automatically. I might be mistaken, Hermione, but I rather think you might be flirting with me.
Is that a question?
The question,
Narcissa said with as much dignity as she could muster,
was implied.
That's a matter of opinion.
Are you always this difficult?
No.
I find that hard to believe.
Hermione smirked. Sometimes I'm worse. Pour me another cup of that mead, and I'll tell you all about it. Perhaps, Narcissa thought, as she joined Hermione at the table, not all of life's pleasures were mundane.